Intro, November 21st, 1989, Ann Neal.
Thank you. But you, O God, are a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. I cry aloud to you, God, who answers me from God's holy hill. I lie down and sleep. I wake again, for God sustains me. Deliverance belongs to God. Your blessing be upon your people. Join me in prayer. God, speak to our hearts as only you can speak. And may the songs, the hymns, the words of Scripture, the words proclaimed by your servant, be healing, prophetic, guiding for our lives this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our speaker for chapel today really needs no introduction. Mrs. Ann Neal has been among us now for some years. She's a native of Fairfax, South Carolina, with degrees from Winthrop College, Mathis School of Nursing, where she received her RN degree, Southern Seminary, where she earned her master's, and the University of Kentucky, where she did special work in counseling. A few years ago, she was a visiting scholar at Garrett Evangelical Seminary, where she joined Rosemary Ruther for a year of study. She and her husband Lloyd have served 27 years in Africa, first in Nigeria and then in Ghana. She has served Baptist well, being the first chair of the Southern Baptist Women in Ministry, and currently serves as president of the Southern Baptist Alliance. She's taught for us here and has helped us in the beginning of the Women's Resource Center. And you will listen to her prayerfully as she comes to speak. I want to make two other announcements about our family. Some of you are aware that Jim Cogdell's father has been in the hospital with congestive heart failure. Jim went there last week, but the word is now that his father is doing much better and he's home from the hospital. And then a joy, Jay and Kathy Harvey announce the birth of Kathy Jay, born last week, and they are doing well. I know that you will join me in that joy. Will you now join together as we sing the hymn 117?
Our gospel reading today is from Luke, the 19th chapter, verses 1 through 10. Let's hear the word of God together. Entering Jericho, Jesus made his way through the city. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was superintendent of taxes and very rich. He was eager to see what Jesus looked like, but being a little man, he could not see him for the crowd. So Zacchaeus ran on ahead and climbed a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus, for he was to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, be quick and come down. I must come and stay with you today." Zacchaeus climbed down as fast as he could and welcomed him gladly. At this, there was a general murmur of disapproval. "He has gone in," they said, "to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Here and now, sir, I give half my possessions to charity, and if I have cheated anyone, I am ready to repay them four times over." Jesus said to him, "Salvation has come to this house today. For this man too is a son of Abraham, and the Son of Man has come to seek and save what is lost." Let's pray together. They missed it, Lord. Something wonderful was happening in the life of Zacchaeus, in the house of Israel, and they missed it. The religious onlookers were so blinded by their self-righteousness and patriotic pride that they could not see the movement of God in their midst. I'm afraid that we too often miss it, Lord. You're still at work in your world, sometimes in quiet ways, sometimes in dramatic ways. But our ideological blinders and our sin keep us from seeing and celebrating your presence. Holy God, heal our blindness so that we may see you acting in the lives of our sisters and brothers. Help us to be co-creators and not hinderers or unseeing bystanders. Holy Christ, as you move among us today, let us not miss the point. We make our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
It's always an awesome opportunity and gift of grace to stand in this place and worship together with all of us assembled here, hoping that we will hear a word from God. The last lines of the anthem that we have just heard, "Chase the dark night of sin away. Shed o'er the world thy holy light." Is this not the prayer of each one of us this morning? The text in the story is a story of one person, Zacchaeus, who met Jesus face to face. In the full light of Jesus' vision, Zacchaeus dared to enter Jesus' world, the world of God's holy light. Zacchaeus could have surely sung out after that meeting on that day, "Jesus chased the dark night of my sin away. He shed o'er my life his holy light." Unhindered grace. Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem for the Passover. Within a few days, he will experience rejection, ridicule, abandonment, and crucifixion. By the time he reaches Jericho, only 15 miles from Jerusalem, the crowd following him is very large and growing by the minute. Every hour, other pilgrims join his entourage. Jericho, what a place. It is a strategic town. It lies in the Jordan Valley, commanding the approach to Jerusalem and to the river, opening up trade routes east of the Jordan. The city of palms, renowned rose gardens, mark it as a center of beauty. Josephus describes it as a divine region, the fattest in Palestine. It is also a great center of commerce. The Romans carry its dates and balsams to worldwide trade and fame. All of this combined to make Jericho one of the greatest tax centers in the surrounding regions. What a choice place for a commissioner of taxes. Every day he works for the enemy. He has every opportunity to become exceedingly wealthy by oppressing his own people. Zacchaeus is that commissioner of taxes. He is at the top of his profession. He is also the most hated man in the district, and he knows it. Jesus and the huge, excited crowd following him to Jerusalem. Zacchaeus, the wealthy, exploitative commissioner of taxes. Jericho, an enviable center of wealth, trade, and beauty. These set the stage for Jesus' meeting with Zacchaeus. The very meaning of Zacchaeus' name, pure or righteous one, add irony to the story. The worldview of those who are following with Jesus concerning Zacchaeus is that he is a social and moral outcast. He has forfeited his right place in the kingdom of the faithful. He deserves to be out in the cold, living in freezing isolation of social contempt. He's gotten what he deserved. He is forever lost. It is clear that Zacchaeus himself is not pleased or fulfilled in the choices that he has made. Wealthy indeed, unhappy and lonely and something gnawing at him deep down inside, it seems so. Zacchaeus is not unaware of who he is in his spiritual history and his heritage. That is made clear in the story later on when he makes retribution for his wrongdoing far beyond the requirements of the law. He's heard of Jesus, and he's heard about Jesus keeping company with publicans and sinners, the likes of himself. He would surely like to see what this man is like. As the story unfolds, it is clear that an empty man is reaching out for the love of God. The very characteristics that make him a sly, calculating, crafty collector of taxes come to his aid in his efforts to see Jesus. The scripture relates, but being a short man, he is hindered because of the crowd. Many in the crowd know this man. They hate him. In all probability, they themselves have done everything they possibly can to keep him from seeing Jesus. In spite of these hindrances and the limitations of his physical size, he puts his abilities to work. Innovation, persistence, quickness of thought and action, a strong sense of urgency, a willingness to take a chance, even to make a fool of himself, to let go of all dignity and propriety, to become the object of ridicule by dashing ahead and climbing up in a sycamore tree. All of this tells us a lot about the kind of energetic and chancy person that Zacchaeus is. He does not neglect to uncover any stone to achieve his objective. He pushes hard. Jesus approaches the sycamore tree. He looks up. He sees Zacchaeus. And he says to him immediately, "Come down, Zacchaeus. It is necessary that I go to your house today." Jesus responds to the initiative of Zacchaeus by using initiative. Imagine Zacchaeus' surprise. Jesus is about to restore Zacchaeus to his rightful place in God's world, pure and righteous one. Jesus is not in such a hurry to get to Jerusalem that he would hinder Zacchaeus from being found. Rather, Jesus is fulfilling his mission as a son of David and as a one who comes to bring salvation to the lost. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save Zacchaeus, who is lost. Jesus acts in character as he always does, identifying with the marginalized and unwanted in the world. Remember, it is a despised schismatic at the well of Samaria. And to the despised outcast, born blind and thrown out of the temple, that Jesus reveals his messiahship. Here is another outcast Jesus favors with a spontaneous visit. Like the schismatic woman at the well and the man born blind, Zacchaeus has a heart to welcome Jesus' gift. Jesus reaches out to Zacchaeus because he loves him. Zacchaeus does not have to present to Jesus a certificate of respectability. Jesus sees in him the potential of being his true self, pure and righteous one, a true son of Abraham. Of course, Zacchaeus is amazed with joy that this Jesus recognizes him, values him, calls him by name, and comes to his house. In the full light of the presence of Jesus, Zacchaeus receives a fresh vision of himself. He sees who he really is. He is lost, meaning Zacchaeus is not in his rightful place in the divine scheme of things. Responding immediately to Jesus' unconditional love and acceptance, he relinquishes his fortune. Greed is no longer his God. He goes far beyond the requirements of the law to make retribution. He becomes the exemplary rich person who has understood something of Jesus' concern for the poor, the cheated, and the oppressed. In turn, he receives the blessing, and his household receives the blessing. They are restored to wholeness, salvation, reminding us again that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Malcolm Talbot points out that Jesus' acceptance of and identification with Zacchaeus constitutes a bold public act. No other story, he continues, gives us more evidence of the remarkable liberty exercised by Jesus in his association with persons. He will not be bound by tradition. Not only does Jesus recognize and speak to Zacchaeus, but chooses to go to the home of an unclean man. Acceptance of the outsider, whether in Jericho, whether in the Southern Baptist Convention, or in El Salvador, involves identification with that person to the extent that one becomes the target of abuse and hostility heaped on her or him. Six Jesuit priests identified with the wrong crowd last week. They were brutally murdered because of it. Though I would not in any way equate this next illustration, it is very disturbing to us. A letter came in my mailbox a few days ago. It was from a young friend who is under appointment by one of our SBC agencies. She's traveled a good bit across the country this year. And she wrote, "I recently met pastors in Indiana and Vermont who are hurting because their home mission board support has now been cut due to the history of divorce in their backgrounds. One of these men had been divorced for 25 years. It's tough, you know, when one fails to live up to the religious demands of the tradition in Jericho or in our convention or in the political structures in El Salvador. It can also be tough for those who identify with their pain and distress." Listen to the crowd. They're expressing a sense of indignation and outright outraged propriety. Zacchaeus is despicable. They'd already done what they could to keep him from seeing Jesus. Why? Because it was an unheard of thing for any rabbi or teacher of the law to lower himself, to pollute himself by staying in the house of a publican. What a contrast. The grumbling, indignant crowd in a hurry to get on with the important business of getting to Jerusalem, and Jesus declaring with all love, patience, and deliberation, "Today salvation is coming to the house of the Son of Abraham." Here in Jesus is the coming, the advent of the one who obeys the Old Testament summons to care for the oppressed and the outsiders, to seek and to save what was lost. Zacchaeus' response to Jesus points to the self-giving of true discipleship. He enters Jesus' world. He dares to pay the cost. He begins to experience conversion, radical transformation. He finds his true self. His self-respect is restored. Son of Man, the Lucan Jesus is depicted as one sent to preach the kingdom, as one sent to fulfill the Isaiah utterances of consolation, as one sent to act as Yahweh told Ezekiel he would act toward his scattered people as a shepherd. "I will search for the lost and bring back the stranger. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. I will shepherd the flock with justice." What is the message for us this morning in this story? As we worship here together, as we ponder our own calls to ministry in the name of Jesus Christ, as we move into the season of Advent, lost in our text this morning means being in the wrong place. As I have worked with this text, I have been asking over and over again, "God, where am I lost and in the wrong place?" And I pray, "God, please point out to me the unconverted areas deep within my own lostness and bring me to repentance and conversion. Where, God, I ask, are we as Southern Baptists lost? God, is it true that we are more culturally bound than biblically based? Are we oppressing each other because of theological differences and differences in biblical interpretation? Are we oppressing divorced persons and women called of God to ministry in order to maintain respectability according to some human standard? Earlier we sang together, but we make his love too narrow by false limits of our own, and we magnify God's strictness with a zeal God will not own. Are we too busy building larger barns for our own use, costing into the millions, that we have lost sight of half of our human family that is underfed, poorly housed, if at all, without any semblance of basic health care? These brothers and sisters are in our own communities and across our world. Have we lost sight of the two-thirds of the people in our human family who have yet to hear the Advent story? Are we willing to let Jesus Christ transform our gifts as he did those of Zacchaeus, so that we may become more wholehearted life givers? Are we ready to count the cost, take up the cross, and walk alongside Jesus among those excluded from the inner circle of religious respectability, the poor, the outcast, like the young 20-year-old woman who killed her three little children last week? Only if we can say yes, are we really living in Jesus' world. Where, God, I ask, is the affluent church in the world lost? In this week's Christian Century, there's a brief article about a document written by many two-thirds world countries, Christians in those countries, called Kairos International, The Road to Damascus. This document points out that Christianity has a long history of being tied to economic and political imperialism, though there have always been those who walked with the oppressed of the world. The document calls us to conversion. In our text today, Zacchaeus is faced with two images of God, the God on the side of oppressive political authorities, and the God who will decide with the one who will be crucified and blasphemed. This, the document states, is a choice that faces you and me this morning. Every one of us is being called to conversion again from the idols of mammon and the worship of God. Every day of our lives, Jesus is seeking us in our innermost depths, our most sacred shrines. He does not give up on us. Why? That he may find us, bring us to our larger capacities, and transform us over and over again as he transformed Zacchaeus. He longs for us to be about blessing one another and not hindering each other and others. He desires to touch those unconverted parts of our lives that we may be whole instruments of unhindered grace, transforming the human situation. Right now, he has no other plan. The story is told that when Tennyson was dying, someone asked him if there was anything he wanted. Yes, he answered faintly, a fresh vision of God. What more urgent request could be ours as we enter this season of Advent? God, give us a fresh vision of thyself. Amen.
Please stand for the benediction. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace by your faith in God, until by the power of the Holy Spirit you overflow with hope. Amen.